Welcome to What the Paper Said, in which I, Patrick Crozier, skim through the Times from 100 years ago, read some of the articles and comment on the ones I find interesting. In this episode, the week ending the 9th of December 1923, the war on drugs is going just great. But first, some of the other items that have caught my attention this week. The general election has taken place in the United Kingdom, and the result is a hung parliament. The Unionists slash Conservatives under Stanley Baldwin called an election to be fought on the subject of tariffs, or protection if you prefer, and have lost their majority. It may not be the landslide defeat of 1906, they were careful to promise not to tax food, but it's still a clear rejection. The campaign saw its fair share of rowdiness. Former Unionist slash Conservative leader Austen Chamberlain was shouted down, Winston Churchill's car was surrounded and a window broken. A man was charged, tried, and fined the next day. Much the same, as in the car window being broken, happened to a Colonel Spender Clay. Stanley Baldwin also had a hairy moment when his car crashed, although that was mainly due to ice. Churchill, in case you were wondering, lost. Quite badly. To one Pethick Lawrence, one of the original male feminists. In the absence of the modern all-night televisual election special extravaganza, many people were drawn into central London to find out the results. In anticipation of this, the tubes ran until 2 in the morning. Railways were flexible in those days. It's almost as if private enterprise is better or something. In 1923, the opinion poll had yet to be invented, which means our ancestors are yet to experience the pleasure of pollsters being proved wrong. But that has not prevented the Times from attempting to predict the result, using the most modern, unscientific methods, mostly involving asking their correspondents to put a figurative finger in the air. They have determined that the Unionists will have a majority of 27, proving that it's not just pollsters who get elections wrong. In benighted foreign parts, perhaps that should be benighted German parts, they have a new Chancellor. Good luck, Wilhelm Marx. Hitler will go on trial in January in front of a Bavarian court. This could be significant. Bonn, in occupied Rhineland, has kicked out the separatists. You wonder how this is happening given that the German government has little influence in the area and the separatists have the tacit, perhaps rather more than tacit, backing of the French. It's almost as if Germans are a nation or something. In Britain, the number of motorised vehicles on the road, based on the number of licences issued, has risen from 873,665 to 979,000 exactly. That's a suspiciously round number. This represents a 12% increase in a year. This despite the fact that vehicles of the day are slow, unreliable, uncomfortable, basic, and as mentioned earlier, the Prime Minister himself found out this week, dangerous. And there is a pre-existing and extensive network of railways, buses and trams. A few months ago, I commented on the rise in the number of cases of forgery. The Times reported on another case this week. There have been a few cases of the livestock disease foot and mouth. Has this led to huge numbers of animals, including pets, being killed? No, it hasn't. Has it led to the election being cancelled, as it was in 2001? Again, obviously, no. The American government has abandoned development of the helicopter. I must confess I wasn't aware they were trying to do so. But they have done so because, as everyone, or at least everyone in government knows, the airship is the future. In the photo section, there was a photo of a boat being seized by the American authorities for alcohol smuggling. Prohibition is still a thing in the US. The caption stated that the felon was a man called McCoy. This provoked the recall of a long-forgotten tale I once heard that the origin of the expression the real McCoy dated back to the days of Prohibition, when only a smuggler called McCoy could be trusted to supply alcohol of suitable quality. Could this be the real McCoy of legend? No, the expression dates back to the 19th century, according to Wikipedia. Talking of mood-altering substances, on Wednesday the Times published an article on cocaine. Perhaps no social legislation, combined with keen police vigilance, has had more effective and immediate results than that relating to the sale and possession of dangerous drugs, particularly cocaine. It would appear that the traffic in cocaine has now been reduced to a considerable extent, although it cannot, of course, be said to have been completely suppressed. This state of affairs is due primarily to the drastic penalties to which dealers in cocaine are liable. No figures presented here, although I am prepared to give the writer the benefit of the doubt when he says that there has been a reduction in cocaine's consumption. However, that is a long way from saying that there has been an increase in the general good. The cocaine habit is quite a modern evil in this country. It was introduced during the war and spread rapidly. I can confirm this. You will be amazed to hear that reading the Times from 100 years ago is no recent fad of mine. I was doing this, the reading rather than the YouTubing, from about 2010 onwards, so I was covering the period leading up to the First World War. I can recall only one occasion it came up before then. In those days, it was as easy to buy cocaine as it was to buy a cup of coffee. The drug was cheap and plentiful. One suspects they banned the wrong drug. The army authorities and the police made the danger. What danger? It would be nice if he had been specific here. The army authorities and the police made the danger perfectly clear to the government, and a regulation was passed under the Defence of the Realm Act, making it an offence, punishable by imprisonment for 6 months, to sell cocaine to any member of His Majesty's forces. Then it was discovered that the drug was being eagerly bought in large quantities not only by soldiers and sailors, but also by civilians, both men and women, and the regulation was amended, making it an offence for any unlicensed persons to buy or sell cocaine. Why was it popular amongst servicemen? To keep them awake, I would guess. You don't get an awful lot of sleep in a trench. At a later date, the DORA regulation... DORA was the Defence of the Realm Act passed at the outbreak of the First World War, which gave the state sweeping powers. Was incorporated in the Dangerous Drugs Act, and the punishment was increased to 2 years' imprisonment. Still, the illicit traffic went on. Undesirable aliens, especially Chinese, and coloured men who had access to clubs of a questionable taste trafficked in the drug, and scores were caught and sent to prison. One explanation is that that's what they're like. Another is that residents of unusual ethnicity or recent arrival tend to be frozen out of more legal means of making a living. The government this year passed a new law embodying fresh regulations and increasing the sentence on indictment to 10 years penal servitude and a fine of £1,000. So 6 months to 10 years in less than a decade. You sure you're winning the war? As it happens, he is. It is this recent act, with its accompanying heavy punishment, that has in the main been responsible for killing the cocaine traffic in this country. There will, no doubt, be a few isolated cases of trafficking in the drug, try not to laugh, and the necessity exists for maintaining the same strict surveillance of the police and the customs authorities. Otherwise, the evil is certain to break out again with as grave results. Again, what were those grave results? But to address the bigger point, this illustrates how the war on drugs goes. You identify what I am sure is a real problem. You use the power of the state in an attempt to crush it, and in doing so, create a greater problem. In 1923, the great problem is solely the need for more prison accommodation and the smearing of ethnic minorities. But, O Times correspondent, you just wait for the quality control problems, money laundering laws, crime and gang warfare. Anyway, that's all for this week. I aim to have something up next week, but I promise nothing.